Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just.
All right. Let's get right to it. Welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher, 33. And today is Tuesday, September the 20th. Tuesday, September the 20th of 2016. And the time is 12 noon, a little after 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I want to talk about my, not a new tool, but just a rehashing of an old system that actually worked back in the day and thought I would bring it back out, the life optimization circle. So how do you optimize your life? When we talk about optimization, we talk about how do we make your life more efficient. So everybody, you know, really wants to be able to live their highest or their best self. So to be your best self, to be able to vibrate at a higher level, to be able to think, basically, to be able to make, you know, good decisions based upon the knowledge and the information that you have. So as you know better, you do better. But for where you are and for what you have and for the information that you've been taught, because you have to look at your environment, you have to look at, you know, your skills or your talents, what you've learned. You have to look at your mind, your mentality, your intellect. You have to also look at how you harmonize or optimize this process. So the problem is clarity or lack of clarity of purpose or your plan. So a lot of unproductivity arises from a lack of prioritization. It is the inability or it is the being of unclear that makes one hesitant to move forward. Since you are unclear of what you actually need, or you are unclear as to what you want to do or what you want to achieve, and you may not have a specific goal in mind, so it's very difficult to prioritize or to optimize and to achieve your highest priority. And so one of the most important things, my brothers and sisters, is first of all, before getting into establishing goals and writing operating statements and doing all the things that we have been doing in our Clara Knowledge program, one of the most important things is for you to develop a optimized way of living. Optimize, I'm talking about the ability, again, to oscillate or to vibrate at your highest potential. So since we all have a certain amount of potential that we are born with, we all have a seed. Everybody has a measure. The scripture talks about that everybody has been given the measure of faith. And so what you want to do is you want to take your talent, you want to take your skill, you want to take your measure of faith, and you want to optimize it. And when we talk about optimizing it, we want to take it and we want to make sure that you plant it, that you water it, that you prune it, that you make sure that you cultivate it and you provide it with a nice, safe environment to grow, so that way it will grow up to be the most effective, the most perfect, the most useful, the most maximized skill, talent that you have. So before we move forward in optimization, we look at the four areas or the four principles of life optimization based upon my understanding and one of the things and the things that I've done. And once you optimize one level of life, you go and you reorganize, and you once you accomplish one goal, you don't stop. You get out of that box and you set another goal for yourself. So you go from box to box to box. The problem is people see you at this one box and they think that's the only box. They think that's you. They don't realize that you got a plan to carry out. The word optimize means that you want to take full advantage of your plan that you're going to carry out. The word optimize means that you are optimistic. And one of the things about the Bender 3 is that we are creatively optimistic. And so it was very easy for me to come up with a tool by which to use my optimism and my creativity to come up with some type of a economic activity. And so it is this goal, my brothers, it is this goal to use your creativity and use your optimistic ability to come up with some type of an economic activity that results in a profit. And this profit is going to give you, again, this prosperity, which is going to lead to this peace. So we have to optimize, which means that I want to act as an optimist. So to optimize means you are an optimist. It means to act like an optimist. Now, everybody's not a three. So everybody, I don't have to act optimistic. I was born with it. So that's why it's easy for me to teach. It's easy for me to share it because it is it. I don't have to become it. I wake up every day. My problem is I'm too optimistic. My problem is I see hope when there ain't none. I don't care. You can put a gun to my head, and I can hear the click go off, and I'll find a positive way to spin it. Oh, you took the bullet out right. I know you weren't trying to shoot a boy. I know you weren't trying to do that. So you take it, and then people are looking at, man, my gun is malfunctioned. Let me try it again. And to me, what happened is, man, this dude is playing games. So to optimize, to be an optimist, it means, man, that the way you think, the way my brain works, it doesn't work like other people's brains. I finally realized that I'm special. I used to think that I tried to fit in the box like everybody else. Then I just realized that God made a separate box for me. Then it's just me and myself and I. All three of us is in this box. Nobody else is in this box. Because an optimist is somebody that has a belief. They have the doctrine of optimism. So this system is the doctrine of optimism. So this is going to be tough because it operates on opium. It operates on the opiate receptors. Now, before you disconnect, I'm not talking about going out and getting no poppy seed plant from Iraq or from Afghanistan, and I'm not talking about that kind of opium. I'm talking about the opium or the opiate receptors that's inside of your blood cells. Every brain or every blood cell is full of opiate receptors. They take in those endorphins that I talked about yesterday, those four that you need. That when you are in this state of optimism, your body releases this dopamine. It releases melatonin. It releases serotonin. It releases, you know, this endorphins. And these endorphins make you feel oxytocinized, happy, make you feel love, make you feel joy, make you feel gentleness, peace. All of the fruit of the spirit can be identified by the chemicals inside of the body. And how do you release these chemicals? By optimizing your life. How do you optimize your life? You take the four numbers that make up your life, who you are. These numbers were given to you by God. No man gave you these numbers. I can't give them to you. I just show you what they are. I did not determine the day that you was born. I would like to take credit for that. Unfortunately, I can't. So if you take the date that you was born, that determines your life path number. If you take the letters of your name, I can't take credit for your name, for naming you. The letters that make up your name are the chains that bind you to your frame. Let me say that again. The letters that make up your name are the chains that bind you to your frame. Let me say that one more time. The letters that make up your name are the chains, the DNA, that binds you to your frame that you call a body. So if I know the letters, I know how to manipulate the frame. Give me your name, I can control the frame. give me your name, I can control the frame. Let me say that again. If you give me your name, I can control the frame. So if you know your name, you can control your own frame instead of letting knuckleheads like me control your frame. So if you don't know your frame, how are you going to optimize your life? You don't know. You know your name, but you don't know what it means. You have no idea what your name is. So, you know, like my name first, my mother named me Edmund, and then it was changed. So, if I didn't know what that name means, how in the world I'm going to operate? When you name something, again, you frame something. You limit it. You label it. So you're walking through earth, and if you got a nickname, so let me get this right. So you got a name, and you've never researched your name, and then you got a nickname, and you don't even know what it means. So you got a nickname, and your nickname could be, like I met this one dude, his nickname was something of, what is it, Cradle of Death or something like that. Some kind of crazy name. So you're going around and people are calling you that. So it hits your eardrum. Most people think that the eardrum is connected to the head, which it is. But the vibration of the eardrum affects the heart. So as a man heareth in his ear, so is his heart. Because as a man heareth, so is he. So what does that mean? That means that to optimize your life, you have to understand how your life works. And the way that your life works, the way that you optimize something is, again, if you give me the letters to the name, that is the chain that controls the frame. So I can control your frame with the letters of your name. I can control your frame, your body, with the letters of your name. That's called etymology. That's called theocentricism. I've been teaching this for 20 years. That's called over-understanding exactly what Jesus said. Jesus called his disciples. They stopped what they was doing, and they started following him. Why? Jesus called their name. Every time Jesus goes and deals with demons, he asks you, what's your name? The demons don't want to tell him. What's your name? All of the movies, they always try to get the demon's name. Why? That's the only way you control them. So the enemy knows how to control you because he knows your name. The problem is you don't know your name. You know what people call you, but you don't know what your name. You don't know how to optimize your name. So the way that you optimize your name is to understand the expression of the name. And then you got to understand the soul of the name. And because if you don't understand the vowels, because the vowels is the feminine expression, and the feminine expression is what controls the universe. So intention is what controls love, nurturing, compassion. That controls the universe. People think reason and logic does. No, it's love and compassion. So the soul part of you is the main part of you. The soul urge, which makes up the vowels from your name, is the part that's the part that controls you. That's the subconscious you. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. You focus on your life path number. You focus on your expression number. You focus on your outer personality number. But you never talk about or you never really understand your soul. See, the soul is the mind. It's the will, the emotion, the imagination, the intellect. So the soul, that was a song called A Soul Man. See, the vibration of the soul, fortunately for me, the vibration of my soul is optimism. So why do you guys think I came up with the life optimized circle? That's me. All I did was, how do I put me in a circle so that way I can take what is subconsciously controlling me and put it in my subconscious? Instead of me being on autopilot, I turned the autopilot off, and now I took the wheel, and I'm driving it. I'm driving it because I took my soul, and I put my soul inside of my body, meaning I put my soul inside of my frontal lobe. I put my soul in my outer personality, which is next. I put my soul in my life path. I put my soul, because it's your soul's urge. It's hidden. It's subconscious. Nobody knows your soul urge. You're the only one. And the problem is most people don't even know their own soul urge. And then we take the outer personality. That's the fake you. That's the part of you that you want people to think you are, but that's not the real you. So you got everybody fooled, so you come up here and you do this, blah, blah, blah. That's the shell. That's the mask. That's the mimic. The soul is back there laying dormant while the outer personality is running the show. So how do we take all of these four parts of you, which represents the four chambers of the heart, and get them to oscillate or to vibrate harmoniously? Well, it's just like if you have a stool that has four legs. What happens if you have a stool that has four legs and one leg is longer than the other? The stool is off balance. It tilts over. It falls over. So you can't grow. You can't do what I did. You can't grow in the area of wealth, health, and religion and or spirituality, and you don't grow in the area of relationship. You're going to fall over. You're going to have a disaster. You're going to self-destruct. You can't grow in one area and not grow in the other three areas. So this optimization requires you to grow holistically. it requires you to grow all four areas at the same time. So when it comes to wealth, when it comes to health, when it comes to wisdom, and when it comes to relationship, you got to use your life path, your expression, your soul energy, and your personality number. And so by using those four numbers and understanding how those work, that optimizes your life. Now, you should be asking the question to yourself, like, okay, doc, that sounds great. But when you say optimize your life, you know, specifically, what are you saying? Well, specifically what I'm saying, when I talk about optimizing your life, I talk about making yourself optimistic. So the word optimize comes from the word optimistic. And to be optimistic, that's interesting. Because, see, that's a cookie blower. Because when you're optimistic, then you think like Christ. Christ was an eternal optimist, meaning that he always saw positive in the negative. He never, Lazarus is dead. He gets to the scene. They tell him, I'm sorry, you late. He's been dead and he stinketh. He's been dead 3 days. Where you been? You've been out lollygagging, saving other folk, and then you're going to come here and Mary and Martha, they was pissed. They said, man, where you been? It's our brother. And you let him die, and now he's been in the grave for 3 days, and now you want to show up? Man, you're too late. But see, Jesus was an optimist. See, he knows something that they didn't know. He knows that the glass is always half full. It looks like it's half empty, but it's half full. Now, a optimist always see a silver lining in a gray cloud. So the only way you can see, this is important, the only way that you can see is if you hold a belief that's backed up by faith that has manifest fruit. That would make you an optimist. See, being an optimist is a doctrine. That's very important. It's a doctrine. So if I'm an eternal optimist, that means that my doctrinal statement, my operating statement, is the glass is always full. It is always half full. So when you say doctrine, what do you mean? A doctrine is a particular principle or position. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got it. A doctrine is a specific principle or position. Okay, you still didn't get it. A doctrine is a body of teachings related to a particular subject. It's a doctrine. You still didn't get it. A doctrine. Now, if you're an optimist, you got a doctrine. And a doctrine makes you a doctor. So when I call myself Dr. Will Rogers, it's because I got a doctrine. That means I got a body. That means I got so many, I got such a huge disposition. I got so many thoughts that are related to a specific subject, to a particular subject that I am considered by the spiritual realm, a doctrine. And so when you have a doctrine, it comes from the Latin word doctrina. And the Latin equates to the English doctor in line, which means that you have the responsibility to protect, if you will. It means that you have a body of teachings that establishes a principle or principles that produce a particular fruit or disposition. And so when we talk about optimizing your life, we are talking about that you are taking your faith. And you got faith in faith. Some people got faith in faith. Some people got faith in God. Some people got faith in rocks. Some people got faith in trees. Some people got faith in their job. Some people got faith in their wife or their husband. People can put faith in a lot of things. You can put faith in a lot of stuff. But I would, suggest, not a requirement, it's up to you. But I would recommend that you put your faith in something that is faith-worthy, something that is eternal, something that is all-present, is all-knowing, is all-powerful. It doesn't change. It is omniscient. It is omnipotent. It is omnipresent. And does that mean that it is quantum? That means that it exists nowhere and it exists everywhere at the same time. Now, if you understand how quantum physics works, you understand that it pops in and out of reality all the time based upon the observer. So let me say that again. According to quantum physics, every scientist on the globe, matter, this is in my program called Programmable Matter, it pops in and out of reality based upon the observer. The observer determines what is observed. That's why we have watchers. You would not be here if there was not watchers watching you. So the question is, what are you watching? So your belief system, your faith, and your facts produces your fruit, what you call reality. This reality changes as your faith changes. And as you get new facts to verify your new faith to produce new fruit. So your doctrine that makes you optimist, that makes you optimize, that makes you highly successful in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship is the result of how you optimize your thoughts. So if you're thinking negative thoughts all the time, and if you think broke, busted, and disgusted, and you're thinking woe is me, and you're thinking all of these anti-God, all these anti-biblical thoughts, you're going to produce, you know, anti-biblical faith. And you're going to go contrary to the word of God. You're going to go contrary. And you begin become what they call an anti-God or an anti-Christ because your thoughts. But it's based upon thought is just a belief. Thoughts, I mean, have no fact. Thoughts are neither true or false. They just are. So when a thought comes in, it is your job, my brother. It is your job, my sister, to do exactly what the Bible says when it says study to show yourself approved unto God. It is your job. When you stand before God, you got to give an account for everything that you've said and done in this body. Not me, you. You are responsible. So you can't shirk your responsibility off on the Reverend Dr. Bishop or nobody. It is your job. So if you go to somewhere and somebody tells you the wrong thing and you believe it and you ain't got no facts, do you think that's going to hold up in court? Now, if I go to court and I kill somebody and they say, why'd you do it? Well, I ain't got no facts. I just, what do you think is going to happen? It's a, you live in your life and all you have is faith. Now, it all starts with faith. It's like going to baseball. When you play baseball, when you get on first base, you starting. That's not the end of the game. Most people get to first base and they stop. Well, the object of baseball is to not get to first base. You got to get to second base. Then after you get to second base, you got to get to third base. Then after you get to third base, you got to get to home plate. When you get to home plate, the umpire, God, declares you safe or saved. But if you don't play the game and go around all of the bases, you end up what the scripture talks about in Hebrews 6:1, when it tells us, let us go on past these, let us go on to perfection. So many people are not moving on to perfection. They're on the team, they're on first base, and they quit, they stop. So they haven't optimized, brother, they haven't optimized, sister, what God has given them. And so that is why you, it doesn't matter. What is wealth? State of mind. It's not a state of your bank account. It's a state of mind. But how do you get that state of mind? Because you got fruit. How did you get fruit? Because you got facts. Where'd you get those facts? Because you had faith. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whoa, did you get it? Faith is substance of hope. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not that sharp. But anybody seeing, can somebody bring me hope? I want, because it says it's a substance. Therefore, it's tangible. It's mass or it's matter. So the scripture says, by the word of God, the worlds, plural, were framed. It's a frame. So faith is the frame that you build your house on. Faith ain't the house. Let me say that again. I know it's contrary to your theology, I understand. But I used to have faith when I was part of the faith movement. And they told me, brother, just take your faith and believe God, and then he'll do it. And I did it, and nothing happened. Like I lost everything. Why? I had no facts. I had nothing. I had no idea who God was. I had no idea what God wanted to do in my life. And I just took somebody else's teachings, and I took off running. I did no research on my own. I just regurgitated somebody else's stuff. Don't do that. faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that means you got to go get some evidence. Now, nobody can see the evidence that you're gathering. They ain't supposed to. You think I'm going to run around? You think I'm going to share with people the evidence that I got as to why I believe what I believe? No, they got to gather evidence their own. They got to study to show themselves approved unto God, not unto men. People ask me all the time, hey, Doc, how'd you find this? Oh, I found it on the internet. I found it here, there. I don't give people my sources. I just give them the information. Why? You can't teach somebody the truth. They got to experience it themselves. They got to research it themselves. They got to go and put in the work themselves. You can't spoon feed people. If you do, they're going to follow you around like a little lost puppy, and they're going to want you to spoon feed them for the rest of your natural bone life. So therefore, you tell somebody it is available. You are an eternal optimist because you've optimized your life. And the way that you optimize your life is you take what is the driving force behind your life. So right now, you've gotten to the place wherever you are in your life based upon the faith and the facts that has produces the fruit. So if you got a good job, that means that, hey, you've had some faith. You believe that, hey, you know what, I deserve a good job. And then you got some facts. You said, you know what, hey, I'm educated, I got a college degree, or I got this and I got that. Yeah, and you know what, and you built up yourself by speaking to yourself, like the Bible tells you to. I call it faith talk. So when I get down or whatever, I don't need nobody else to build me up. I build myself up, like the Bible says to do. The Bible tells me what to think about, tells me to think on these things, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things, it gives me a whole list. If I'm ever confused, I just go back to the Word of God, and it redirects me. Now, I'm not limited. I read a lot of stuff. I can go read something that, you know, that Jim Bob wrote. That Jim Bob wrote it, he took it based upon his experiences and his interpretation of the Word of God. But at the end of the day, it's me and God. It's my relationship with God and my relationship with myself and my relationship with others that allows me to optimize my life. And so these four things help you to optimize your life. So everybody that's a part of the Clarignomics program is going to be promoting and selling this optimization circle. So, again, the cost of the optimization circle is $25, really, really inexpensive. It's a tool to allow you to get to know you. So that way you could understand what is the subconscious driving force behind my life. Something motivates me to do something. Why? This is why. Everybody knows what. What? I got a job. Okay. Why you got that job? I don't know. Okay. Let's find out. Okay. Everybody knows what. I am unhealthy or I am healthy. Okay. But why are you healthy or unhealthy? I don't know. Okay. Let's find out why. Everybody got a certain spiritual wisdom. People ask me, man, what's all this Christ consciousness stuff? Why are you always into this metaphysical stuff? Why can't you just, you know, my brother tells me all the time, man, why can't you just do Jesus Christ and him only? Why you got to do all this, you know, the biology of belief and all of this, you know, quantum physics and all of this, you know, the metaphysics of the, you know, of the Ark of the Covenant. And you got the Christos and the twin flames and Didymus Thomas and all of this. Why do we need all of that stuff? Have you seen the driving force behind my soul urge? I'm a three. I'm creative. So I'm always optimistically, creatively expressing my spirituality because that's who I am. So I don't feel bad if you don't feel me because me and God, we feel me because he created me this way. So I'm not going to feel sorry or feel bad because I am designed this way. It's like a fish feeling bad because he swims, and he can outswim everybody. Yeah. But you take that fish out of the water and put him on the land. Put him next to a greyhound. He's going to get smoked. Why would the greyhound feel bad for outrunning the fish? Put the greyhound in the water. So you don't know your purpose. You don't know the optimization, how to optimize your life, and you wonder why you're losing at life, or you competing. If I'm a fish and I'm competing against a greyhound, why in the world would I compare myself to a greyhound if I'm a fish? Because I will always lose, and then I'm going to beat myself up, and I'm going to be crying and broke, busting, and disgusting. That's what I was doing. I was taking all of these jobs where I was packing boxes, working on roofs and all of this stuff, and I wondered why I hated my job. And everybody was telling me, brother, you got a great job working at UPS, man. You should be thankful. You should be on your knees crying, begging out, and thanking God for blessing you, brother. Man, the UPS job was a trick of the devil. because he knows if he can get you in, inside of that position, you're going to be unthankful. You're going to be, and the one thing that God hates is a person that is not a cheerful giver. So I don't care what you've given to God, because your life is God's gift. God, your life is God's gift to you. How you live your life is your gift back to God. And you living your life broke, busted, and disgusted, and angry, and pissed off. Oh, you go to church every day, but you're angry. You're mad. You're pissed off because you got to go. And you tired, and you don't even want to stay at home. God ain't accepting that stuff. Why? Because you're not doing it from your heart. You're doing it from your head. God never appeals to the head. He appeals to the heart, because that's where his laws are written. His laws are not written on tablets of stone any longer. It's written on the minds and the hearts of his people. And if you don't optimize your heart, my brother, you can't override your head. If you don't optimize your heart, you can't override your head. If you give me the letters of your name, understand the chains that is attached to your frame. My brothers and my sisters, again, if you need this life optimization circle, this chart, about 10 pages, the first page, again, just breaks down the chart. The rest of it is information that explaining what is in this chart or this circle. You need this to optimize your life. That means that you're going to live to your fullest spiritual potential. That's all this is. It's nothing mystical. It's nothing deep. It just allows you to know you. Again, the cost is $25. Email me at masterteacher33.com, at gmail.com, or any one of the outstanding, you know, royal priests or royal priestess that's a part of the Christ Conscious Metaphysical Assembly, or that's a part of, again, my Clarinomics group. Everybody in the group can do this for you, not just me. So you can hook up with Brother Roman, you can hook up with Brother Zach, Brother Jasper, you know, Brother Kyle, Brother Travis, Sister Seda, you know, anybody that's inside of the group will be able to assist you with the life optimization table, as well as the Dear Kinnear report. If you don't have your 500-page Dear Kinnear report yet, you need to hit up Brother Zach, Brother Jay Wealth, Brother Roman, anybody in the inside there. We are all learning. They all will be able to do exactly what I'm doing. They're all extensions of the Christ Consciousness Metaphysical Assembly. Why? It's not about me. It's about us establishing the kingdom of God on earth. Because the enemy is trying to establish his kingdom down here. That's why he's running around with all this craziness. Our job is to be an eternal optimist. Because Yahushua, when everybody else saw death, he saw life. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. When everybody else says famine, they take that fish and two loaves of bread, fed 5,000. So when you see adversity, you need to look at that adversity, and you need to see the same way Yahushua, the same way Jesus Christ saw it. He saw opportunity where everybody else sees disaster. My brother, my sister, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
People really are still dreaming. Yeah.